always guiding. He's always protecting. He's always saving. As we're sitting in this room, somebody's getting saved somewhere in this world. He's always saving. He's always praying. While we're praying, we don't know what to say. Jesus is in the throne praying prayers on our behalf. He's always working. Even when Jesus was walking on the earth, he was a worker. He was the son of a carpenter, built furniture. Could you imagine having furniture that Jesus actually built? Wouldn't that be amazing? In fact, the cross that he died upon, he grew himself. He's the worker. He created everything. While he was walking on the earth as the God-man, he was sustaining the universe with his other hand. Just amazing. In fact, in John 9, Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can what? Could work. You are created to work. You are created in God's image. So therefore, because God's a worker, we are supposed to be workers. In other words, we have a purpose, a reason for why we're here. Have you ever heard, had somebody tell you, man, you're a piece of work. Man, you're a piece of work. The fact is, you are a piece of work. You're a piece of God's work. The Bible says you were fearfully and wonderfully made because you're created in God's image. You're created to work. In other words, you're created to serve a purpose on this earth. You're here for a reason. Whenever we buy a gift for our kids or a gift is sent to our house, I always dread the words, some assembly required. I hate those words. I said, how many of you guys just want it to come out of the box, you open it, and this is done, right?
That's right.
Why is there like 500 steps to get this thing to work? And I can't stand that. And I'll put the stuff together, and there's always like four pieces. Just laying there, useless. You know, sometimes I think the factory workers are like, let's just throw in some pieces just to throw these guys off, you know? It's like, what are these for? Everything's functioning well, but there's like always four pieces left over. And I always think when I look at those pieces, man, they have no role to play. You know, there's no purpose for these pieces. Let me tell you something. God makes no spare parts. You're not a mistake. You're here for a purpose. For a reason. You have a purpose. You're not a spare part. You're on a mission from God. Look right here. You are on a mission from God. You have a purpose. You're here for a reason. Either that's true or you have no purpose. The Bible says that you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. There is a purpose for your life. Others have come before you, and others will come after you, but you're right now. It's your time now. It's time for you to serve your purpose now. It's our time. You and I have a purpose. It's our day. This is it. Discover your purpose. Know that you're here for a reason. You are created in God's image. He works, therefore you work, and you're not a spare part. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. It's not how many years you put in this life. It's what you put in those years. And there's a purpose for your life. There's a reason why you're alive. And it's more than just a 9-to-5 breathing in air and paying bills. So that leads me to my second point. Discover your purpose. But I want you to understand, you have to discern your calling. There's a difference between understanding I'm here for a reason and a specific calling on my life. How do I know God's calling me like Jesus called Peter to step out? And how do you guys understand that all 12 of the disciples served a different purpose? They had a purpose, but each one had a different calling. And what is my calling? And what is your calling? How can we discern between the two? How do we do this? Your call is more specific than your purpose. And your calling is your race. It's unique. It was scripted by God. And God is taking your past mistakes, the pains that have come into your life that are outside of your control. God is molding and making you into His image. And He's put you on a path that nobody else can run but you. And it's your life. It's your script. It's your calling that's unique that nobody else has. And to compare yourselves among yourselves is unwise. We're not supposed to look at somebody else, as we learned last week, and say, why isn't my calling like that person? Because that person can get a little more recognition than my calling. It has nothing to do with recognition, because the joy is still the same regardless.
That's right.
But I want you to understand something. You're here for a reason, and you have a specific calling. I want you. God wants you to know what that calling is. He doesn't want you to miss out on that calling in your life. What is your calling? Discovering your call requires one of the greatest challenges in life. Honest self-exploration. Honestly examining yourself. Being honest with yourself, what your weaknesses are and what your strengths are. Being honest that you're not supposed to be somebody else, you're supposed to be you. And if you try to be somebody else, you just become a terrible version of that person. You're supposed to be you. Nobody else. You're unique. Don't you love that God loves variety? Aren't you glad that we're not all the same skin color? We don't all look the same. Can you imagine if you all look like me? That'd be boring as all get out right there. That'd be terrible. I'm glad you look like you. I'm glad you're you. And glad God's glad you're you. And you have a specific call. But listen, before I go into this point, this is my last point, okay? I want you to focus here. Can you be honest with yourself right now? Don't think about lunch. Don't think about anything. Think about this. What I'm about to say. I want you to be honest with yourself. I want you to understand what a calling is not. In order to know what it is, you have to know what it's not. A calling is not something you choose. You guys with me? It's not something you choose. It's something God chooses. Lord, bid me to come unto thee. Lord, as long as you choose for me to step out, I'll do that. When you look at Paul, the Bible says, Paul called to be an apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't a call he put on himself. It was one that the Lord gave him. A call is not something you choose. Choosing your call is an oxymoron. Because there has to be a caller, and there has to be a callee. In order to be called, there has to be somebody calling the shots. And when you got saved, you're not the one calling the shots. Jesus is the one calling the shots in your life. You see, we didn't give ourselves personality. We didn't give ourselves talent and these God-given longings. Those were all given to us by God. You were gifted by God in a unique and special way. God equips the worker and he assigns the work. He's the caller and we're the callee. Think about all the men and women who were called in the Bible. It wasn't them calling themselves to that work. It was God calling them. Amen. So you have to understand what a call is not. A call is not something you choose. Listen, it's not so much of finding your call as it is just listening. It's not so much choosing your call at all. It's listening to God. Let me just say this. God is taking your life. He's taking all the past hurts. He's taking all the decisions. He's taking some of your mistakes even. We'll get into that in just a second. And he's molding, he's making you into a person that is to fulfill a call that's given by God.
Amen.
It's unbelievable. But I want you to miss out on your call. And it's God who's calling you, not you calling you. You can look at your life and say, man, I want to be this and I want to be that. But is that what God's calling you to? And are you okay with being called to something that gets no recognition? Are you okay with being called to something that maybe doesn't provide as much money? Are you okay with that? I think if we're to be honest with ourselves, I think a lot of us would not be okay with that. Lord, I'd like to call the shots here. Lord, I would like to be in charge of what I'm called to, not you. But how many of you guys are thankful that God knows better than us?
Amen.
His ways are much higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And let me tell you something. When you as a Christian finally yield yourself to God, say, God, you take control. You be the caller, and I'm just the callee. I'm just here to take my orders from you. Yes, sir. Lord, you're the caller. I want to make sure it's from you. Before you step into a relationship, make sure it's God's call in your life. Before you just quit your job and enter into another career, make sure it's God that's bidding you. Before you just step out, make sure you're asking the caller if that's from Him. So we have to understand what it's not. It's not something you choose. Number two, it's understanding your limits and potential. This is my favorite part. Is everybody still with me? You have to understand your limits and your potential. In other words, everything in the universe has a nature. It has limits and it has potential. What it can do and what it cannot do. There are things that you are created to do and there are things you are created not to do. Is everybody with me? Okay, in our subculture, when I was growing up, we were told you could be anything and anything you want to be as long as you put enough effort and time into it. You can be whatever you want. That is not true. And I know that hurts a lot of people's feelings, and we're handing out bubbles at the end of service today for you. But there are some things that God didn't create you to do. And there are some things that God did create you to do. There are limits and there is potential. And every single one of you has a nature. You have a limit. And you have potential. Skilled potters know that they need, that when they have their clay, they knead it and they press the clay, and that clay presses back, telling them what it can do and what it cannot do. Amateurs lack that discernment. You know, every piece of clay in the sixth grade was an ashtray to me. My parents smoked, so I just made ashtrays every time I had a piece of clay. Just kind of made that, here you go, it's my ashtray for you. Every piece of clay. I didn't know the clay's potential. Okay? Since I was the potter, everything was an ashtray. How many of you are thankful that God doesn't think that way? Amen. He doesn't just make all of us into one mold. It's made you unique. Our problem is that we try to mold our own lives. We assume the potter's chair. We try to tell us what we think we need to do and not allow God to mold us into what He wants us to do. If you read in Jeremiah, the Bible says that God is the potter and we are the clay. You know what the job of the clay is? To stay soft and quiet. That's it. Lord, mold me. Make me into what You want me to be. The job of the clay is to stay soft and to stay quiet. Our problem is we want to mold us into the image we think would be best for our lives. But man, if you would be honest with yourself and yield your life to God, He can mold and make it into something that's so much greater than you could ever, ever imagine. To serve an eternal purpose. To serve something greater than yourself. So you have to understand your limits and your potential. You have a nature with potential and limits, and calling is this. You guys ready? This is so good. A calling is the place where your deepest joy meets God's deepest purpose. So how do I know what my calling is? It's your deepest joy meeting God's great purpose for your life. It's something you do enjoy. God gives you the desires of your heart. It's a calling. And I want you to understand something. That's why a calling is so much more than just a talent. Okay? Are you guys with me still? So what is my calling then? How do I discern this? How do I know what it is? It's like the runner who loves running more than he loves the trophy at the end. It's just a passion. It's just something the runner loves. It's the teacher facing a full room of skeptical students with the challenge of opening the doors of learning to them, regardless of how much they make. And how many of you guys would agree teachers need to make more money? Boy, when they deal with our kids, you know, they need to make a lot more money. But there are just some people, there's people in our room that are teachers in schools today, and they do it because they have a passion to teach those kids. They're not in it for the money, they're in it because they want people to learn. That's their call. When their deepest joy meets God's great purpose for their life. It's the leader who looks at an organization with moral challenges and resource limitations and cannot wait to release the potential in that company. He doesn't care when he's getting paid. He just can't wait to get his hands on that company and turn it around. He has a passion for it. It's a writer who has to write and create for the love of it, not for the money, not for the fame. They just have to get these words down on paper. It's the pastor who goes right into the ministry because he wants to see people saved and lives changed and marriages mended. He's not in it for the money. That's a call. So a lady did a study, a research on 200 artists 18 years after they graduated from art school. You know what she found? Those who loved painting for the love of it became serious painters. And those who went into it to become famous or rich went off to other things.
Amen.
Do you know how you stay faithful as a Christian? It's when you love God more than what God gives you. I'm in it because I just want a close relationship with Jesus, not so I can get a bunch of stuff like from him. Like he's some like genie in a bottle. The reason why Christians aren't faithful to God till the end, finish my course with joy, you know, that thing, is because they're not in it for the relationship, they're in it for what they can get. When they don't get what they get, they're out. You gotta check your motives. There's a president called Ulysses S. Grant. I probably said his name wrong. We'll just call him President Grant. How does that sound? He was an incredible military leader and writer. He was prolific. The guy was incredible. I mean, he was integral in winning wars. I mean, he was unbelievable. But he was a terrible president. In fact, historians say he was one of the most useless presidents we've ever had in our entire history. In fact, at the end of his tenure as a president, he actually apologized to the entire nation in his State of the Union address. And this is exactly what he said. He said this: "It is my fortune or misfortune to be called to the office of chief executive without any previous political training." Somebody asked him, "Why did you become president?" And this is what he said. He said, "Because I studied our society, I studied our culture, and becoming president is what got celebrated. It's what got recognized." And what happened was Ulysses S. Grant, his unmet need of acceptance and recognition blinded him to his limitations. He had this need to be accepted, and it blinded him to his abilities or lack thereof. And he was a terrible president. He didn't recognize that. And so many of us give up God's calling in our life because we choose a career, we choose a path that gets most recognized when you weren't even built for that. You weren't made for that. I know people who decide to follow their father's career only because that was what was celebrated and discussed in home. They spend the next 20 years trying to be someone they're not. Just because you have a child doesn't mean your child's going to end up just like you.
Amen.
Maybe morally they should, but maybe not your career path, because that's not what God called them to do. And if you're a kid and you think, man, dad's really pressuring me, mom's pressuring me to be something I'm not, don't do it. It's the woman who craves attention and is certain, she's certain that she must be a singer or an actress. And even in the face of overwhelming evidence, that does not reflect whom God made her to be. You see them on American Idol many times, don't you? They're just terrible. And I was always told I was such a good singer. I'm not saying you can't be a singer and an actress, but not everybody can. I'm not trying to discourage anybody. I hope you guys know. It's like, I was told my whole life I can do whatever I want. No, God has called you to something specific, and you need to find out what that is. And you need to understand that your greatest joy is that.
Amen.
That's where it is. If you think acceptance is going to be found in Hollywood, you are highly mistaken, my friend. Acceptance is found in Jesus Christ. That's where you find it. It's the guy who becomes a pastor because it's a great place for a platform and telling people how to live. lot of narcissists become pastors. People that are just self-absorbed. What a great platform to tell people how to live. Tell them what I think every single week. I'm standing up ripping on my own career. How's that? And it's not a career. It's a calling for me. And it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And that's why we plant Cross Point Baptist Church. It's not about building my kingdom. It's about building the kingdom of God. And I'm not trying to too much. By the grace of God, I pray that I've never become that. This greedy pastoral scoundrel. If you and I, once you get this, if you and I have the courage to acknowledge our limits and embrace them, we can experience enormous freedom. Some limitations don't bother me. I understand I'm weak in a lot of areas, and it was a great liberating experience when I knew it and I accepted it. I'm not really good at fixing things. My dad's a carpenter. He fixed cars. He fixed houses. He's so good. I'm not good at it. Our vacuum breaks. My wife's like, the vacuum's broken. I'm like, we just get a new one. She was on YouTube looking up videos and all the parts going to cost more than the vacuum. I'm like, yeah, they make everything disposable. Throw it away. It bothers me that I can't do that. That bothers me. It bothered my wife's like, hey, the doors on the car are kind of broken. And I'm just there like, I buy Toyotas because they're going to last a long time. I don't want to fix them. I don't want to work on them. That's just how I am. And it bothers me that I can't do those things. But I've accepted it. We just hire people who know how to do it. It's awesome. I'll tell somebody, hey, I'm going to get this fixed in the basement or upstairs. And they're like, oh, how much does that cost? And I tell them, they're like, about to have a heart attack, a Dutch heart attack, because of the price, and then they're like, man, I was going to do that myself. And I'm like, man, I wish I could do those things, And there's some things that bother me about my limitations. There are some things I don't care about. I don't care that I'm not a techie. I don't care. Josh is a tech. Where's Josh Castle? Oh, Josh, hey, what's up? Josh is a techie guy, a tech geek, okay? Like we had a couple tech guys come in. You can tell a tech guy from a mile away, all right? You just come in, hair pointed, Poindexter. I'm just kidding. They're not all like that. Right, Shannon? Okay, so these guys come in the other day, and they're talking about, our new music system we're putting in. They're asking Josh, which program did you get? And Josh is like, yeah, I got the X400. X3 PSA, something. I'm just standing like, yeah. I just pretended like I knew what he was talking about. Finally, after their comments, it's like, I'm out. I can't do this. I don't understand it. And I'm okay with my techie limitations. There are some limitations I struggle with, like fixing things. I'd like to be a guy who fixes things. But I realize I'm just not. God didn't give me those talents. And when you realize what you're good at, what you're naturally talented in, and what you're not, and you accept that, there's great freedom in that. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Quit trying to be somebody you're not. There's guys, assistant pastors at a church, and they think, I gotta be a senior pastor because that's what gets recognized, and that's who gets called out to preach at places. So and they go pursue something they were never created to do. Find out what your calling is in life. So we have to discern that. And then number three, I want you to see this. It's discerning a call from a career. It's discerning a call from a career. So I want you to see here that it's understanding your limits and potential. Now, by the way, can I just say this before we go into this? Say, well, isn't a God-sized calling beyond ourselves? Yes, it is. Okay? If God calls you to something and you think you can do it and you can figure it out, then it's not a God-sized calling. That's not God calling you. That's you calling you. But if God calls you to something, He'll equip you for that call. I knew God was calling me here to Grand Rapids in 2010 when everybody was leaving the state. I was moving into the state. And now I know why God called me here. And He's equipped me along the way. So it wasn't based on my ability. It was based on God's wisdom and ability. Is everybody with me on that? Yeah. I feel like I had to just clear that up, okay? But how do I discern between a call and a career? And what's the difference between the two? How do I do this? And how do I know what I'm talented at and what I'm not talented at? So I want you to understand that and discern between a call and a career. We often romanticize callings, like a call. And with power and position and fame and fortune, we think, man, a call, that's what that possesses. And that's what that is encompasses, is those things. That's my call. I'm called to this, fame, fortune. But callings often involve pain.
Amen.
Think about Moses. Moses, you're called to go tell the most powerful leader of all the world, the dictator, that his entire workforce is about to leave. And you're about to tell, your calling is to tell 2 million stiff-necked, murmuring people to go out into the desert. And Moses said, here am I, Lord, send Aaron. That's your calling. Your call is to do that. How many would say that would involve a lot of pain? And it did, if you read the story. What about Jonah? Jonah, your call is to go to Nineveh, the most wicked city this world has ever known, and tell them, repent or die. And Jonah looked at God and says, God, when's the next whale leaving in the opposite direction? Jeremiah, your call is to preach to people who will not ever listen to you. That's your call. You're going to get up, you're going to preach, and nobody's going to listen. You're going to get up and preach, and not one person's going to be converted. Not one person's going to turn to me. And the Bible even calls him the weeping prophet. There are times when Jeremiah wanted to quit, but there is this fire within his bones that caused him to not quit. That's a calling. Can you imagine getting his business card? I just want to introduce you to myself. My name's Jeremiah, the weeping CEO. You know, this is not very good. That was his calling, the sobbing CEO. Now, your calling may require you to pay a high price. Your calling may not involve recognition. It may not involve wealth. It may not involve influence. Could you let that go? That's a good question. You got to answer yourself. You may face disappointment and discouragement like Jeremiah, but can you persist? Somewhere along the line, people are going to oppose you. They're going to disapprove of you. They're going to discourage you. Can you endure? That calling that God has on your life. There's a difference between a career and a calling. A career today in 2018 is the new religion. As commitment to family, to church, to God, to community is shrinking, people are looking to their career to provide meaning. They're looking to their career to provide connectedness, to provide identity and esteem. It's the new religion. They're asking their career to give them what only God can give them. It's the new religion. A calling is something I do for God and with God. A calling is something I do for God and with God. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And your calling may involve what you do for a career. If you're a financial advisor, that's a great joy that God brings to your life because you're helping somebody financially and it's serving a purpose. You may be a teacher, maybe whatever, a pastor. I don't know what God's call is for your life. But it's different than a career. A career is something I choose. A calling is something I receive. People often ask me when I was called to pastor. When were you called to pastor? But I know all too well that being a pastor could easily become a career. It is also possible to turn what you do as a calling when it's done to serve God and it's done to serve others. Everybody with me? Whatever you do for a living, whatever you're a homemaker, maybe you stay at home with the kids. If you do that for God and you do that for them, that's a calling. That's a great calling.
Yep.
A career may end with retirement, but a call ends the day you die.
Amen.
A career rewards may be visible, but they're temporary. A calling, the rewards are eternal. They're forever. They're for God. A career is disrupted by events, age, economy, pressure, but a calling, God enables them to fulfill the calling in the face of any circumstance. You look throughout your Bible and you find every man and woman that was called to something, they finished to the end regardless of any circumstance that came that way. Just read the story of Paul. He faced so much persecution and suffering, yet he finished his course with joy. So I finished my course. I kept the faith. And there's a crown of glory waiting for me. He finished to the end. You can always quit your career, but you can never quit your calling.
Amen.
Potiphar had a career. Joseph had a calling. Pharaoh had a career. Moses had a calling. Haman had a career. Esther had a calling. Ahab had a career. Elijah had a calling. Pilate had a career. Jesus had a calling. And by the way, how many of you say Jesus had pain involved into his calling? So much pain that he took your sin and my sin all upon himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, his calling involved a lot of pain, but the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That calling also involved a lot of joy as well, because it met your needs, and it would serve God's purpose in his life. It was his calling. What is your calling? Do you know what it is? There's a guy named Chuck Colson. How many of you guys ever heard of him?
Yep.
Chuck Colson. He was actually involved, he was deeply involved in the Watergate scandal in the 1970s. And because of that situation, he was actually sent to prison. And it was in prison that Chuck Colson actually got saved, genuinely saved. And he began a prison ministry for the rest of his life until the day it was a calling on his life. Until the day he died, he met that calling. Chuck Colson said something really interesting I want to share with you. He said, the real legacy of my life was my biggest failure. Let me just stop there. How many of you guys are thankful that God can interweave your biggest mistakes in life into your greatest callings? Because that's God. He said, the real legacy of my life was my biggest failure. That I was an ex-convict. My great humiliation, being sent to prison, was the beginning of God's greatest use of my life. He chose the one experience in which I could not glory for his glory. And that's what a calling involves. It involves his glory. It involves his purpose, meeting your great joy. Don't miss out on your calling. You're not a spare part. You are on a mission from God. You have a purpose. You have a specific call in your life. And it's unique and it's scripted and it's yours. Find it. Listen. Remember, a calling is not something you choose. A calling is something you listen for.
Amen.
If you're just busy about on all the social media and just busy about life and not listening to the Lord, you're going to miss out on your call. You're going to miss out on your purpose for life. You need to find it. So what do? I'm going to give you three steps. Number one, I want you to understand this. Believe that you have a purpose. Can you do this? Can you today just decide this? I believe that I have a purpose in this life. You're not a spare part. You're not a mistake. Do you know why people oftentimes kill themselves? I'm not making light of this. I'm just telling you the truth. You know why people often attempt suicide? Because they realize they believe they have no purpose. I've blown it too much. There's no use for my life anymore. I'm done. You have a purpose. You're not a spare part. Number two, you need to believe this. You need to decide this today. Discover your calling. It's not something you choose. It's something you listen to. Discover your calling. I had a hard time when I was preparing this message because I was thinking, how do I articulate what their calling is? And I can't. I don't know what it is for you. You have to discover that. The beautiful thing is that he interweaves all of the circumstances of childhood and teen years and your 20s and your 30s, and he weaves it all together into your great calling. Look at Joseph. It took being sold into slavery. It took being falsely accused by Potiphar. It took being forgotten in prison to him being second in command of all of Egypt, his calling. Discover that. Don't fight God, resist God as he's working in your life. Embrace it. And number three, trust Christ as your personal Savior. Let me tell you something. You'll never, ever know and understand what you're calling in his life if you don't actually call upon the Lord.
Amen.
September 1st, 2001, I called upon Christ as my personal Savior. And I've been on this incredible journey. God's calling my life. And I'm telling you, it has been awesome. Oh, ups and downs, yeah, but the Lord's been with me every time. And he can for you. You have a purpose. Discover your calling. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today. I pray that this morning would be a turning point for many people sitting here. That they realize they're not a spare part. They're not a mistake. They have a reason for being here. And it may not include fame and fortune, but Lord, it includes the greatest thing above that, your purpose. And I pray that that would bring them great joy in their life, great contentment, great purpose, reason for being here. And Lord, the great thing is that when we die, we don't really die, we get to spend eternity with you. What a wonderful ending to our life. But Lord, I pray that we would understand these things. We would take them to heart, we believe them. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let me ask you this question. We have what's called, if you're new here, we have what's called